Namaste, Saraswati Devi, Gauravani Pracharani, Nirvishesha Shundarani, Pashakti Deshatarani. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So in the first chapter, or first section of Nectar Devotion, there was a general definition of bhakti given. And then in the second chapter, there was a description of sadhana bhakti, of which we had two types, vaidhi bhakti and raganuga bhakti, of which we only covered vaidhi bhakti in a moment. And so we'll do raganuga bhakti now. So all of these, and they're all governed by definitions. They have a limit to what they cover. So we have a definition of bhakti that was Ani Abhilashika Shunya. That was the general definition of bhakti. And then it has three sub-definitions, sadhana bhakti, bhava bhakti, and prema bhakti. So we had a definition of sadhana bhakti, which was that we engage the senses, we use the senses in order to go from sadhana to bhava. And it's within the general definition of anukulina Krishna anusilana. And then within that definition of utilizing the senses to attain bhava, we have the definition of vaidhi bhakti, which means we cultivate favorably Krishna using the senses in order to attain bhava, but according to the rules of shastra. And that is vaidhi bhakti. And then within that we had all these different angas of devotional service, like hearing, chanting, etc. So that was what vaidhi bhakti was. It is done according to faith in the shastra, following the shastra, in order to get the result of bhava. And the other type of sadhana is called raganuga bhakti. Raganuga bhakti has a definition also. And that definition is this, that it is a type of sadhana to attain bhava, but which follows after the bhaktas, eternally perfect bhaktas in Rajabhumi. In other words, the eternal associates of the Lord in Raja. So it's particularly to do with Krishna. It's nothing to do with Vishnu Loka and Vaikuntha. It has only to do with Krishna Loka and that particular mood in which the devotees there serve Krishna. So those devotees are called ragatmaka bhaktas, which literally means devotees who are completely absorbed in raga. So what is raga? Raga means an intense absorption in the object of love. So one who has that intense absorption in Krishna is called ragatmaka. So the eternal associates of Krishna in the spiritual world are all in this mood, intensely absorbed in Krishna at all times. To the extent that they don't see Krishna as God even. So this type of love is called raga bhakti, and the devotees are called ragatmaka bhaktas. So one aspires to follow after them and does one's devotional service following in their footsteps, and that is called raganuga bhakti. So raganuga bhakti is directed towards Krishna in his Vrindavan form. The ragatmaka bhakti, that is in the spiritual world, there's basically it's divided into two groups, just for to show the excellence of the gopis' love. So there's kama rupa raga, ragatmaka bhakti, and there is sambandha rupa. So kama rupa means the madhurya rasa bhakti, that is the gopis' bhakti, because it looks like lust. It is completely impelled by great desire, strong, very, very strong desire. And the other relationship, Vatsalya, Sakya, and Dasya, are called Sambandha Rupa, which means relationship. So these, they're all, of course, relationships, but Rupa Goswami singles out the love of the gopis as Kama Rupa Bhakti, because the love is so intense. So based on that, we have the following these types of devotees, then we have the, in the spiritual world, we have Raga Nuga Bhakti, which is also like this, Kama Nuga and Sambandha Nuga. That is, those who follow after the gopis and are aspiring in that way, they're called Kama Nuga Bhaktas. And those aspire after the other relationships are called Sambandha Nuga. So in this way, we have the Raga Nuga Bhakti defined. What is the qualification? The qualification is one should have a greed for that type of bhakti and a greed to follow after the inhabitants of Vrindavan. If one does not have that intense greed, then one should do Vaidhi Bhakti. And if one has a greed to follow after the inhabitants of Raja, then one does Raga Nuga Bhakti. Not necessarily, no. Because from Vaidhi Bhakti, one can go to Bhava Bhakti directly. And then to Prem Bhakti. In which case one would become a follower of Vishnu in Vaikuntha Loka, or perhaps even in Dwarka, a follower of Krishna. So it's not that Vaidhi Bhakti generates Raga Nuga Bhakti. So what is the cause? The cause of this Raga Nuga Bhakti is mercy of devotees. Devotees that have Raga, then they, by that association, one also tends to develop that. So what are the Angas? The Angas are the same as Vaidhi Bhakti, in general the same Angas, hearing, chanting, remembering, etc., worshipping the deity forms, etc., very much the same as Vaidhi Bhakti Angas. In other words, it's still under the definition of engaging the senses in order to attain Bhava. So we found in Vaidhi Bhakti we're engaging the different senses like the eyes and the nose and the ears, etc., and the body. So one can do the same things in Raga Nuga Bhakti. Only the mood is different because we're following after the inhabitants of Raja. And they do not follow rules. And the particular nature of Raja is that it is based upon their spontaneous attraction to Krishna with no awe and reverence. In Vaikuntha Loka, there's also prema, it's full of love there. But they have a reverence for Vishnu, and they see him as God. And their devotion is regulated in some way by rules, even though it is love. And there's a certain line of respect which they don't cross. Whereas with Krishna, that is not so. For instance, Mother Yasoda sees Krishna as her son, and spontaneously she loves him. So therefore, that reverence does not interfere with her love. So she can put Krishna on her lap, and she can also punish Krishna. She can do many things. But if one has reverence, one cannot do any of these things. One will have a distant relationship, even though it is love. So those that aspire after this more intimate type of relationship with spontaneity, with out regard for the rules and regulations and the formality, that is called, one has attraction there for this Raga Nuga, and one becomes qualified for that. So the activities are basically the same activities. However, generally in the Raga Nuga, the one following Raga Nuga is concentrating also upon remembrance of the Lord. It becomes quite prominent in his activities. So internally he serves the Lord. He meditates upon serving the Lord. Though externally he does the activities, normal activities of a devotee. Internally he also serves the Lord through meditation, using his mind, following after the particular person he's taken as his ideal in Vrindavan. And he concentrates upon hearing about the Leelas of Krishna in relation to those devotees. So he's particularly attracted to that. And he lives in, he likes to live in Vrindavan. So these are the different activities of the Raghunandan Bhakta. So he serves with his body in the regular way, and at the same time with his meditational body called his Siddha Rupa, he serves Krishna internally in Vrindavan. So this is a little bit of a difference from Vaidhi Bhakti. There's a lot of internal practice there, more meditation practice. So in this way, we have two types of sadhana. And Raghunuga also is not bhava. It's a sadhana to attain bhava, just as Vaidhi Bhakti was. And the difference is, one is according to rules and regulations, and one is following after the inhabitants of Raja, who have no rules and regulations. That's the difference. Now, of course, this leads to different. This leads in different directions. If you do sadhana according to Vaidhi Bhakti or sadhana according to Raghunuga, you go in different directions generally, towards a different goal. It's both spiritual, but you get a different goal, and that we can discuss in the next chapter. So, the third chapter of third wave, so to speak, of this part of the book, Nectar Devotion, is called concerning Bhav Bhakti, which is the result of sadhana. After you've done sadhana, either Vaidhi Bhakti or Raghunuga, then you come to the bhava stage. So the definition of bhava is it's Suta Sattva Visheshatma. Prema Storyam Su Samyabhak. Ruchi Bis Chitta Masunya Kripta Sa Bhava Uchite. So that type of bhakti, which is serving Krishna favorably, which is a ray of the sun of prema. In other words, it's got the quality of prema, but in a small quantity, and which softens the heart with different tastes or different ruchis, and has within it the kladini and samvit shaktis of the Lord. That is called bhava. So bhava is an actual experience of genuine experience of the love of Krishna. And we do sadhana to attain that. So in other words, sadhana is not a genuine love of Krishna yet. It's engaging our senses to attain that genuine love. But this genuine love is not considered prema because it's only a little bit. It's not complete. So therefore we have three stages of bhakti, not just two. We have sadhana, then bhava, and then prema. But bhava usually very quickly will lead to prema. Bhava is not a sadhana. It's a result of sadhana bhakti. So it's a, let's say, they call it the ankura, prema ankura. It is the sprout of prema, just like when you get a little sprout coming out of the ground. So it is the first inkling of prema. But it's also distinct from prema because there's some, it's only a little bit. So this is a genuine experience of Krishna, but it's small. It's like a one particle of sunlight. And its main quality is this sudasattva visheshatma. Sudasattva is defined here as a combination of the kladini and samvit potencies of the Lord. They descend upon the jiva by the Krishna's mercy. And why is this necessary? It's necessary because without samvit and ladini shakti, you cannot perceive the Lord, nor can you experience ananda. And so this is the mercy of the Lord, that we can have such an experience of Krishna only through his bestowal of chit shakti in form of samvit and consciousness shakti, by which we can be aware of Krishna and have the senses, spiritual senses, to perceive Krishna and register that. That's under the samvit shakti. And after getting the awareness of the Lord, then we have to get the be able to experience the Lord, the bliss, and that's caused by Fladini Shakti. So do these two things, Samvit and Fladini, are they belong to the Lord Himself. They're the Lord's Shaktis. But He bestows them upon the Jiva. And when the Jiva gets these two Shaktis, then he's able to experience Krishna. So this happens, it begins to happen in the stage of Bhava. And it is complete in the stage of Prema. So Bhava actually is a very special state because we get a very special mercy at this stage. All the stages of Bhakti, of course, don't happen unless we get Krishna's mercy. But this is a particular mercy here by which we get the ability to perceive and experience Krishna in the spiritual world. So this is distinguishes Bhava from Sadhana. This is this descent of the Kladini and Samvit Shaktis. But we know that it is not the same as Prema because it says it is only a particle, like the ray of the sun in comparison to the whole sun. So therefore, this descent of the Sudha Sattva Vishesha, this Sladini and Samvit Shaktis, is not complete. It's also partial here in this stage. So therefore, the bliss is not the same as the bliss in Prema. And the perception of the Lord is not the same as the perception of the Lord in Prema, because it's only one little particle. So the main part of Bhava, this is, or the Sarup Lakshana here, the main quality is this descent of the Padini Samvit Shaktis. And then the secondary qualities are that it is only a particle, it's part of Prema. And other thing is it softens the heart with different tastes. Which means our attraction for Krishna gradually develops in this stage. We surrender ourselves to Krishna at this stage. Now, of course, this is described later in Prema that it's complete. It's more surrender in Prema, but at least in this stage, there's a softening of the heart. So we become spontaneously in love with Krishna. So one goes through the different stages, Nishta, Ruchi, Asakti, and then Bhava. So in order to get Bhava, one has to go through Ruchi and Asakti. These two things have to be there. So the heart has to become softened by Ruchi and by Asakti, and then one can get Bhava. Okay. At this stage, there will be what we call the Satyika Bhavas. These are ecstatic symptoms. There's different elements in rasa. One is the Satika Bhavas, another is Anubhavas, another is Vyabhachari Bhavas, and then there's Anubhavas and Vibhavas. There's five, and Stai Bhava. There's five parts to rasa, of which four are emotional components, more or less. That is the Satika Bhavas, Vyabhachari Bhavas, Stai Bhava, and Anubhavas. So the Sattvika Bhavas and other Bhavas begin to manifest at this stage. And these are the symptoms. But not all the time. Periodically we get a few symptoms at this stage. And it's not complete also. The symptoms will manifest completely in the stage of Prema. So this is a purely spiritual. Bhava is a spiritual emotion emanating from the soul, which is inundated with the Lord's Shakti of Fladini and Samvit. But it may appear as if it's material because it manifests within our body and in the mind of the individual. So it looks as if it's a material emotion almost. It's manifesting in the mind. But actually it's coming from the soul. So this bhava is actually a taste for Krishna, an eagerness for Krishna. It's a stage of eagerness and a taste for Krishna, an experience. But this experience of Krishna And also it produces more longing for Krishna at the same time. So it's a taste for Krishna, but it also increases one's taste for Krishna. So therefore it automatically keeps increasing all the time, spontaneously. What is its cause? There's several causes. One is sadhana. This is a normal method. And now there's two types of sadhana, vaidhi and raghunuga sadhana. So these could both lead to, they both lead to bhava. One can go through the stages, you know, nishtha ruchi asakti through vaidhi bhakti, or one can go through the nishtha ruchi asakti bhava and raghunuga bhakti. Either way, I can go through. So then, of course, if one does vaidhi bhakti and gets to bhava stage, then one will have experiences of the Lord with reverence. So that's either a dwarka form of Krishna or a Vishnu form or another avatar form with reverence, understanding he's God. If one goes from raghunuga bhakti to bhava bhakti, then one has some temporary realization of Krishna in his Vrindavan form and his lilas, Vrindavan lilas. So that's raghunuga. So these two types of sadhana are there, which are a cause. The other type is not sadhana at all. It's mercy. So without doing sadhana, or along with sadhana also, one can get mercy and just jump from one stage of sadhana all the way up to bhava. Then that is the case of mercy. Or without doing any sadhana at all, one can suddenly jump to bhava. This is rare. It's not the normal method. But it happens. So there's mercy of Krishna and mercy of the devotee. Mercy of Krishna can be there. We see many cases of that, where he elevates a devotee up very quickly. It may appear, maybe through his words, he says, I bless you, you can attain my love. Or he may show himself, and that is an instigation for developing that love. Or somehow just spontaneous in the heart, somehow we get this bhava. So that's Krishna's mercy. And the mercy of the devotee is there. Examples of that are Narada Muni is a good example of getting mercy. Prahlad got the mercy of Narada, and he attained bhava. The hunter, Mrigari the hunter, got the mercy of Narada Muni. He did what we look like sadhana, but very quickly, within a few months, he got up to the stage of bhava. Very quickly. Within no time at all, and that was very surprising to Parvati Muni, how he quickly, so quickly advanced. So it was due to the mercy of Narada Muni that he advanced so quickly. So he did some sadhana, but all, the main component for his advancement to bhava was mercy of Narada Muni. Sometimes, without getting the mercy also in this lifetime, without the sadhana also, it is possible someone will manifest genuine bhava also, suddenly. So Rupa Goswami explains that in that case, that person has done in his past life some sadhana and got to the stage of bhava, but for some reason he got interrupted and he lost, he got covered over. So then this lifetime it appears suddenly again after some of the obstacles are overcome. So then it's actually a continuation of bhava from previous lifetime. This bhava takes different forms. It's like we have rasas, five rasas, shanta, dasya, sakya, vatsalya, and madhurya. So we have bhava of five types, shanta, dasya, sakya, vatsalya, madhurya also. And of course this will lead to prema of these types. In this bhava we have different qualities. I'm not going to go over them, they're in the nectar of devotion. Different qualities which manifest in the devotee, like tolerance, not wasting time, detachment from matter, pridelessness, desire for Krishna, enthusiasm, attachment to chanting, attachment to hearing about Krishna, and attachment to living in the Dham. These are some of the symptoms of the person in bhava. And in the last part of this section, Rupa Goswami talks about bhava bas, or ratiya bas, which is not real bhava, but looks like bhava. And so he has two basic types. One is pratibimba and one is chaya. Pratibimba bhava bas, or ratiya bas, means that one imitates bhava This is common in India. People show the symptoms of bhava and they start crying or rolling on the ground, and that happens in Mayapur. You'll see some people come in the temple, roll on the ground, and cry and all this. But at the same time, we know they're not very advanced because they may be smoking cigarettes or something. So there's an imitation, a gross imitation of bhava state. So not approved, actually. It's just an imitation. Which they do because they get some association of devotees, and then they somehow aspire maybe to attain some sort of symptoms like that, so they imitate the symptoms, but not very good. The other is chaya ratiya bas, which means they get some genuine little emotion which surfaces, and then they may have some ecstatic symptoms. So they're not so devious as the first group of people, but still they're not advanced. There's some slight symptoms, temporary symptoms. And that's generated through some devotional association of some sort. But it's also very temporary. So this type of ratiya bas or bhava bas can develop. If one has association of good devotees, then it can develop into real bhava eventually by doing proper sadhana. At the same time, it can also disappear completely through aparad. Sarupa Goswami says even bhava itself, even though it is a genuine experience of Krishna, that can also disappear due to aparad. If one has got a serious aparad, then bhava itself, not only bhava bhas, but bhava itself can also disappear due to serious aparad. And if one has a less serious aparad, the bhava can turn into bhava bhas. That can be the very weak form of bhava. So in this way, bhava itself, though it is genuine, can also be dissipated and disappear. And one can fall from one's position, therefore, from bhava, even though it is part of the goal of bhakti, the goal of sadhana is bhava, still one can fall from that state also. So Rupa Goswami, therefore, says that there may be apparent faults in a person who has bhava. But we should not criticize that person. An example is Bharat. Bharat was on the stage of bhava. But he had a fault. He became attracted to the deer and he gave up his worship of Vishnu completely. And he became absorbed in the thoughts of the deer. And then he fell down from his position and he became a deer. And we should not criticize Bharat, because it's a very exalted position to get that bhava in the first place. And whatever fault he has is nothing in comparison to what he attained. So therefore, the Lord usually makes arrangements for such a person to come back to that state again eventually. So as in the case of Bharat, he recovered in the next lifetime after he was a deer, and he became a pure devotee in that stage. So we cannot criticize Bharat for falling from his position, because he's in a very high position. He said, Rupa Goswami said, it's like the moon. The moon is also beautiful and pure and is praised by all the poets. But if you look closely, you'll see spots on the moon also. And you can criticize the spots. And there are definitely spots there. But we shouldn't criticize. Because it's actually very beautiful. So the stage of bhava is like that. It's not pure. It is not prema. And it's not 100% pure. And there's a possibility of falling from that stage. There's some fault there. And it can magnify and it can cause you to fall. But it's a very rare stage. And there is a genuine experience of Krishna there. So we should not criticize that. So the person on that stage, if he is a genuine Bhava Bhakta, then we cannot criticize him at all. A very exalted person. So that's the chapter on Bhava Bhakti. And then the last chapter in this eastern section of the ocean is Prem Bhakti. This is a very short chapter because the rest of the book is about prema, actually. Rupa Goswami begins with another definition. What is Prem Bhakti? So in comparison to bhava, what's the difference? The heart is completely melted at this stage. The attraction of Krishna is 100% and nothing else. And the attachment becomes 100%. That's called mamatta, or minus. Krishna is mine. The instinct of having Krishna is very, very, very strong. Complete attachment to Krishna. Heart is completely in love with Krishna at that stage. Very possessive of Krishna. And the bhava itself is sandra atma. As you know, sandra anana means condensed bliss. So then the bhava, when it gets very condensed, becomes prema. So this is what is called prema. It's a condensation of bhava, an intensification of bhava, where there's very strong possessive feeling, and the heart is completely melted. So we have intense bliss. The bhava gives rise to ananda, so there's an intense bliss there, an intense possessiveness of Krishna, and a complete melting of the heart. Complete surrender to Krishna. Okay. That is prema. So that is the perfection. In prema state, there is no material contamination, no fault, nothing is there. 100% for Krishna. If we're in bhava, then maybe 99.9% for Krishna. And 0.1% maybe. Some little traces there. Prema, 100% for Krishna only. So, just as in bhava, there are also causes, we can say, how we get to prema. So how we get from prema to prema? From bhava. But the bhava we saw was different types. There was that which came from sadhana, which was from vaidhi bhakti and from raganuga bhakti. So one can have from bhava, from vaidhi bhakti, then one will go to prema. In the same line, Vaidhi Bhakti. In other words, one can reach perfection in Vaidhi Bhakti and be 100% dedicated to the Lord in the form of Vishnu or even of Krishna in Vaidhi Bhakti if possible. And which one will serve Krishna with some sort of awe and reverence mood or Vishnu with awe and reverence? Or one can go from Raganuga, Sadhana, Raganuga, Bhava, and then Raganuga. Prema. After the bhava will give prema. And then one goes to the Vrindavan, Goloka Vrindavan, spiritual world, and associates with Krishna, not seeing him as God in any one of the rasas. Or one can go to prema by mercy. Mercy of Krishna. If they gain some personalities, get the mercy of Krishna, and they can advance and up to the stage of spiritual world by Krishna's mercy. An example of that is Putana. Putana Gavaji got killed by Krishna by his mercy. Without doing sadhana, without doing anything, she went to the spiritual world and became one of the elder gopis, like a nurse for Krishna. And that's just by his mercy only. So generally we can go to, we have two types of bhakti there for that which leads to prema, where we realize the Lord in his opulence, and the generally from Vaidhi bhakti. And then we have that type of prema, which is attained by following the Raganuga stage, and one associates with Krishna and Goloka Vrindavan. So these are this is the stage of prema. So what are the activities of the devotee on this stage in prema? Cannot be defined. It is not subject to scripture, not subject to anything. And even one of his knowledgeable of scripture, it is hard to detect and to understand a person on the level of prema. He's not subject to the rules at all on that stage. He's completely beyond everything. And what is the development of prema? Rupa Goswami mentions Shraddha, Sadhusanga, Bhajana Kriya, Anarjana Vritti, Nishta, Ruchi, Asakti, Bhava, and the prema. So these are the stages one will go through from sadhana bhakti to bhava bhakti to prema bhakti. That's a normal progression. If one gets mercy, then one could jump some of these stages through mercy of the Lord, mercy of the devotee. Huh? And one may jump suddenly to bhava or suddenly to prema by mercy. But that's rare. In normal cases, we go through sadhana and then attain bhava and prema. Even then, we have to get mercy. Even though we get bhava through sadhana, actually you need mercy to get there. Because Krishna has to endow one with his Pradini and Samvit Shaktis. That's the mercy of Krishna. It's not going to come from anywhere else. Sadhana itself does not produce this. It comes from Krishna's mercy. And to get to the stage of prema again, how? We can go through bhava to prema, etc. But ultimately it depends on Krishna's mercy again. So that covers these four chapters of the first section of Nectar Devotion. Who? Jadbara. He was a bhava bhakta. And then he fell from that position. If one is in prem bhakti, one does not fall. It's impossible to fall. Because the not only one gets the endowment of the padini and samvit shaktis, but it's complete at that stage. So this, he cannot fall. And he's 100% pure. They call even the bhava bhakta is also uttamadhikari. He's also uttamadhikari. Because it's not sadhana anymore. The bhava bhakta can fall, yeah. Sambandha doesn't mean in the sense of a relative. Of course, Sambandha does mean a relative also, but one doesn't have to be a relative. It's just a relationship, a friendship, a relationship as parent, or a relationship as servant. And of course, we could say it's a relationship as lover also. So Rupa Goswami says, yes, they're all Sambandha in one sense. There's some sort of relationship there. The love is based upon a relationship. But he wants to glorify the gopis more, therefore he separates them and calls it Kama Rupa Bhakti instead. Even though it's all Sambandha Rupa, it's all based on relationship, but that relationship is more intense. So therefore it says Kama Rupa, it's based on intense love. But actually it's all relationship. Well, I don't know so much about their realization. Is it impersonal or personal?
I don't know.
But it can't be on bhava or prema, either of these things.
Well,
there's some idea of love, obviously, and it's not completely impersonal. It's not completely impersonal. So probably some of the stage of bhava or prema in those cases also.
Sometimes we say that Krishna reveals this to them, like in the case of Mother Shah, Why does he do this?
Oh, this again is to illustrate that actually to think of Krishna as one's mother or Krishna as one's son is actually higher than thinking of as God. So therefore, when Mother Yasoda sees this universal form in Krishna's mouth, she recognizes, oh yes, he must be God. But then she forgets immediately. So the idea of Krishna as God is less than the idea of Krishna as son. So this way he shows the superiority of Mother Yasoda to the yogis or the gyanis or anybody else who sees God also. Huh? It's a glorification of the devotee, in other words. No, there is no sadhana. Baba is beyond sadhana.
So then it would be very hard to recognize them.
Also, yeah.
And it would be very hard to deal with them also because.
Yes, there are no rules. Though he does mention here these characteristics. He is tolerant, he's attached to the holy name, he's attached to hearing, he lives in the holy Dham, and he has great eagerness for Krishna. These things are there. Huh? But he's definitely beyond the rules and regulations, no longer sadhana bhakti.
Maharaj, in the difference between Vaidhi Bhakti and Radhanuga Bhakti, does it have to be a person who's more elevated or that's a high stage, or is it just a different mood?
It's a different mood, basically. It's possible, but there's also a danger in doing so, and that's particularly why Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur discouraged it, because what he did see at that time in Bengal, that through the practice of Raganuga, when people weren't qualified, it led to a lot of degradation. Huh? Because they don't follow rules and regulations. They began to give up. They had no standard, and they didn't follow any rules and regulations, and therefore, you know, bhakti itself became polluted with, you know, breaking regulated principles. So, I mean, it was very, very low. So, therefore, he says not qualified for that.
It doesn't depend on one's. It can be if it's genuine from.
Yeah. Vishnu Chakravarti mentions that in one place. That you can begin, you know, sadhu sangha and then bhajana kriya and go up this way on Raganuga level. However, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says in Jiva Dharma, generally one should have a genuine taste for Krishna, let's say ruchi at least, and then one can practice that. It becomes a little difficult because it involves internal meditation, and things like this is quite prominent in one's practices. That takes a lot of one's time to do that, internally meditate on serving the Lord. Particularly in, you know, different parts of the day. So one has to meditate quite a lot of the time to do that. The other point, of course, is that if one is in Raganuga Bhakti, which is in relation to the Madhurya Rasa and the gopis, etc., which is like the prominent one now in the Gaudiya Sampradaya, you won't find in the Gaudiya Sampradaya anyone teaching Vatsalya Rasa or Sakya Rasa or Dasya Rasa in Raganuga. It just doesn't seem to be there. Basically, it's all, you know, Manjari Bhava. So when in the practice of that also, then because it is very intimate service to the Supreme Lord, people then also, because of the intimacy and the relationship with Krishna, they tend to get mixed up and they fall from their position. So therefore, that's why Bhaktisiddhanta was not encouraging it very much, because he saw the results and that time among the different groups. It was very corrupt. So therefore, he said, don't do it.
Maharaj, you might be asked, how do we categorize Sri Rama Prabhupada?
How do we
categorize or how do we categorize
him? Categorize him.
Is Prema or Uttama?
Well, see, Uttama has Uttama includes Prema and Bhava.
So, can
we say Bhava or Prema, whatever.
Uttama.
Yes. Oh, I see. Well, that's a difficult question, because generally it's Bhaktisiddhanta, we kind of discourage it in one sense. But from Lord Chaitanya's point of view, actually, he says this is the quick process to get Krishna. Yeah. On the other hand, generally, if you don't practice Raganuga, then you don't get the Vrindavan Krishna. If you practice Vaidhi Bhakti, you can go in several other directions. Either you, and you're worshipping Vishnu, you go to Vaikuntha. If you worship Krishna in Dwarka, then you go to Dwarka in the spiritual world, not to Raja in the spiritual world. And if you worship Krishna, Radha and Krishna, but in Vaidhi Bhakti, then explanation is you go to another part of Goloka, where there's Radha Krishna married, and you worship them in Aishwarya mode, but not in the Raja mode. So like it's different, according to your mood, you go to different things, different Krishnas.
I heard a quote, I'm not sure if it's correct, that the preaching of book distribution is in the mood of the gopis. Is this the correct quote?
Who said?
Prabhupada?
I don't know. Did Prabhupada say that?
Yeah.
It's in the mood of the gopis.
Distribution is in the mood of Vishwa.
Well, it can be, of course. It depends on us, on our state of service, I suppose, that's all. Well, of course, Krishna's fluid, and Brahma Samhita explains that, expanded into the Krishna mantra. I think the calm Gayatri in the Krishna mantra is expanding Krishna's sound of his flute. Hare Krishna? I don't know. It doesn't mention that there. I don't know. But of course, everything is in Krishna's flute. Everything. All the stage. Better not to do that because we can become very sloppy.
Maharaj, on the levels of consciousness that you've been talking about, there are obviously interrelations because there are devotees. It's not just one devotee experiencing these things. There's an association of devotees. So that kind of association that seems incomprehensible.
Incomprehensible?
Yeah.
Why?
How devotees can relate on that platform or define.
Yeah, for us it is incomprehensible. But we see people like, if you read the stories of Gaurakishore Das Babaji, or Jagannath Das Babaji, then you can a little bit understand that, how they led their lives and everything. They're completely oblivious to the material world. And they're not aware of the material world half of the time. They're simply absorbed in serving the Supreme Lord internally.
The Goswamis, they also make the mission at the same time. They weren't random in their activity.
No, they had definite purpose according to the order of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. At the same time, of course, they were engaged in their internal service of the Lord also. Of course, they're also, especially empowered by Lord Chaitanya, and they're also Siddha devotees, so they can do both things. They can carry out the Lord's mission in the material world at the same time, be involved in their Nitya Siddha forms.
What should we follow? Should we follow the Vaidhi Bhakti method?
Well, generally we have to follow the Vaidhi Bhakti unless one has that genuine greed. The genuine greed to follow after the intimate associates of Krishna and Raja. So one has to follow generally the Vaidhi Bhakti process. That's the general for most people. And rarely one gets that. That greed.
That's where we start first to follow them. But if we start following them, do we know ourselves that the next stage is we do it spontaneously or?
That whenever it arises, usually through the mercy of a devotee. Then one gets that intense greed to follow after the associates run down. Then one takes up that mood. That does not mean that then you give up the rules also. It means the rules are so fixed that it's no longer a imposition on you. Yeah? So the one who is following Raghunuga doesn't mean he doesn't do anything that the other devotee, the Vaidhi Bhakti devotee does, because it says externally he follows just like the Vaidhi Bhakti, but he's not under the control of the rules and he's not acting according to the rules. He's acting according to his feelings for Krishna in that stage. Thank you. fine then. Okay? No other questions? No.
The first time, the Raghavendra Bhakti, so though he may have the internal meditation, but externally he still performs the activities. The internally he is meditating.
Yeah, yeah.
But externally, like, he performs the normal activities.
Yeah. Yeah, hearing, chanting, remembering, etc. Vishwan Chakrabarty also says, this also means that one follows in the footsteps of people like Rupa Goswami and follows after their example of how they were acting also. Yeah. And internally, of course, you can follow after his, you know, Siddha Rupa form, whatever. Yeah. So we follow the example of Rupa Goswami and whatever they did. That's our external condition. In other words, Raghunuga Bhakti is not an opportunity for us to give up all of our regular practices of devotional service and think we've gone beyond that. It doesn't mean that. It means you do them better and more spontaneously, actually. So instead of chanting your rounds, you chant more rounds, more spontaneously, more eagerly, not give them up. And worshipping the Lord, instead of worshipping the Lord, we do more worship of the Lord instead of less worship of the Lord. More service to the Lord instead of less service to the Lord. That's done in a very eager way. Only it may not be done with the same rules of Vaidhi Bhakti. For instance, in Vaidhi Bhakti, okay, if we're going to serve the Lord, then we have to do it at certain hours, precise, you know, Mangala Arati, wake up the Lord at this time and, you know, do the Arati at this time. This is all Vaidhi Bhakti. Whereas in Raghunuga Bhakti, it may be different. You may wake up Krishna later. Because you say, Krishna's sleepy today. He's tired today, so I'll wake him up later today. Like this. So there's some adjustment of those type of rules. And it's not done by rules, it's done according to inclination at that stage. But nevertheless, the main angus of bhakti are performed, but they're done with more eagerness and more intensity also.
It sounds very much like
anyway, at that stage, better not to do that because we can become very sloppy in our devotional service to that and ourselves become lazy and, you know, wake up at any time and do anything we want. So one has to be careful of that. Which stage? Oh, as long as one does not have that eagerness. What? Because it, ultimately to get to Krishna and Raja, you have to follow that path. And one develops that through association with devotees that have that spontaneous attitude.
So
even
if you're going through the body process, then you miss it.
Then you go to a prema, which is based upon that, which has awe and reverence mixed in it.
Obvious,
but from
that
it seems
that respect for
senior
Vaishnavas is really a
key aspect of devotional life. Yeah. Because devotional association is important in all stages of bhakti, particularly with advanced devotees. And then, because it's through that respect that one gets mercy, and then one can advance.
Can you explain more about prema?
What is prema and shantarasa? Yes, of course. And here, when they discuss the different rasas, and that's in the third part of the book, the different types of rasa, shanta, etc. He describes those who are in shantarasa as the yogis, yogis who are meditating on paramatma, and basically the realization of paramatma is shantarasa, where there's no service involved, and it's in a very calm mood. It's a realization of the Lord, but service is not developed. So therefore, the comment there is that it's actually not, it's not the same as the other rasas, actually. It's not part of bhakti in one sense, because it's for the yogis, and there's no active service. However, also it is explained that in the spiritual world there is shanta rasa with the plants and the animals in the spiritual world, because they don't have an active service, at least it's very limited. There's also a type of shantarasa there. But that is also covered in Vrindavan. It is covered by Madhurya also. So it's very special there also. Even the Shantarasa is intimacy with Krishna. The jivas, that role. But because they're not actively serving, therefore it's called Shantarasa. At least if whatever action they can do is very limited. Do they speak well? By Krishna's mercy, they could, I suppose. Generally, they don't. But we do see personifications there do speak in one sense. Like they're criticizing the flute of Krishna, etc., like that. But, so it is possible.
Some people say that cows are mutual. Some people say that they're parental.
Yeah. Looks like this could be go either way because they do supply milk to Krishna. So like they're like mothers in one sense also. But I've also heard that they're neutral rasa. What it is, I don't know. At least it's limited. It's more limited than those who have human forms in the spiritual world. They're much more limited in what they can do. There can be a mixture, of course. Just like there can be a mixture of parental with Sakya, or Sakya with Dasya, and Dasya with Shanta, and that you can have a mixture of all sorts of rasas also. And in Madhurya Rasa, all the rasas will manifest also. All the other lower rasas will manifest in Madhurya Rasa.
How do we understand because Krishna's name and Krishna are not different, would it be possible that the devotee of practicing to these people sometimes, that when he internally is just thinking of Krishna's name, Vikalap, would that be similar to someone who's actually thinking of worshipping him?
Yeah, it's the same thing.
So just thinking of his name and spontaneously, is that equal to any other?
It is explained that when one chants the holy name, then gradually one can realize. Through hearing the name, one can realize the form of Krishna. And then, as one goes deeper, more advanced, then one can realize the qualities of Krishna. And if one goes further, one can realize the leelas of Krishna. And one goes further, then just by chanting the holy name, one can engage in rasa with Krishna. So one gets a complete realization of Krishna and one's relationship with Krishna just through the name. So chanting the holy name, one will get enter into rasa with Krishna also. So that's his nature, the nature of the holy name. Even though it's a name, through it one can realize form, qualities, activities, and rasa also.
So that the devotee would be just chanting the name, but experiencing
everything. Yeah. Leads to in itself, it leads to complete realization of Krishna.
Could the devotee be reminded of experience?
Bhava. Just like Bharat. He was in Bhava stage and he also fell from that stage. But again, we cannot criticize him. And he righted himself also. And he attained the mercy of Krishna and Vrindavan also. So Bhava stage is later on explains in Nectar Devotion that it is not 100% pure. And there is vigna, or there is still obstacle there in that stage, though it is very slight. And so that obstacle or that impurity can lead to some fault or some activity which is faulty, and one can fall from its position due to that. But at the same time, it is a very rare state to attain, even though it's not 100% pure. And one is endowed with, Krishna's sampin hadin shaktis. So one has special mercy of Krishna. So at that stage, even if one happens to have a fault, Krishna somehow protects that devotee. As Krishna says, my devotee is never vanquished. So though he has a fault, though he may fall from his position, somehow Krishna makes some arrangements so that devotee can return to the position again and advance. Bilva Mangal Thakur, he was in Bhava, fell from his position, but then he rectified himself in advance and got Krishna in the end. So even the Bhava Bhakta can fall. Huh? I suppose so. I've never heard of these. Yeah, I suppose so, yeah. Yeah. He was protected also, yeah.
If our aim to go to Raja, now let's go back to Raja rather than go to Vaikuntha or Goloka or whatever. So the process of practicing now to chant the holy name and to engage in devotional service is to get to that level, is that correct?
Yeah.
So that means it will come as time goes on.
Yeah, by the mercy of Krishna. He will make arrangements by which we get what we desire, I suppose. That's all it is. Huh?
So can you say that
if we have a desire in a certain direction for Krishna, Krishna will make arrangements so we can get that also, when we're qualified for it. Huh?
So you must have that desire and goal.
Yeah. That is why we have Sambandha Abhidhya Prayojana. We have to understand what the goal is. And if we have a desire for the goal, then Krishna will make arrangements to get there. If we don't know what the goal is, then of course... What is Krishna going to give us?
But wouldn't that we be asking for something like doing devotion, the motivation to go back home?
Well, for everything we need a motivation of some sort. But it's not what we call a motivation for material reasons. It's for service to Krishna. Isn't it? It's how we want to serve Krishna. What mode we want to serve Krishna. That's all. Yeah. And that's for our own, it's a method of, you know, serving. So it's for pleasing Krishna. And it's not for our benefit, it's for pleasing Krishna. So there's nothing wrong with that. If it becomes a motive, then it is we have the different types of liberation, sarupya and salokya, and Sashti and Samipya. These are the types of liberation. You can go to the same planet and have a similar body to the Lord, have association of the Lord closely, like this. Huh? Opulence is like the Lord. So these are types of liberation also. So if one has that mixture like that, then of course it's a little not so pure.
How much do you feel that we can learn from a personal relationship that we encounter in the material world?
Mm-hmm.
It seems that when we fail in many ways our personal relationships here, Krishna would obviously be watching, carefully watching.
Mm-hmm.
How do you relate that to obviously a personal relationship with Krishna, which can't be that much different from the fact that he's God?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the only difference between the relationship we have there and here is that the experience is quite similar. At least what we expect in the relationship is similar. In other words, we want some satisfaction to that relationship, and some taste. So that desire to get that taste is the same. Of course, it's more intense in the spiritual world. It's perfect there, but there's a similarity there to get that taste out of the relationship. The only difference is that in the material world, the relationships ultimately are self-centered. And we're getting the taste for ourselves out of that relationship. Huh? And at its best, of course, we strive for love in the material world. But somehow it's all contaminated by the getting it for ourselves. Huh? So in relation to Krishna, it's the opposite. There's nothing for the self, it's all for Krishna. So that's pure love.
But do you feel that way? Make a mistake in a personal relationship, and that motivation is also selfish. That would be a step backward in the spiritual life.
It is a reflection of our material attachment, obviously. But of course, we can learn from that. In a material world, these relationships can never be perfect, and through that, strive for eternal relationship, which is perfect. We can learn from that.
Is there any what is the stage that we reach in order to attain Vaikuntha?
Prema Bhakti. Uh-huh. How do we do that? Well, there's three stages, sadhana, bhava, and prema. And so the important stage for us now is the sadhana. And we go through different things like shraddha, faith, then association, and then doing the activities, and then purification, and then steadiness, then taste and attachment. These are the stages. And then we get to bhava, which is a genuine experience of Krishna. So to do that, then we have rules and regulations in Vaidhi Bhakti to govern that, and what activities we do, like hearing and chanting, etc. But all of this is covered by the general principle, that is, activities done with the intention of pleasing Krishna and no other intention involved. So this is what we do, and if you do it with that, do these activities with that attitude, and then you'll go through these stages from anartana vritti, nishta, ruchi, asakti, up to bhava.
I know Parash Pandit said that to attain Vaikuntha, you have to be at least a bhava.
Or you have to get to prema.
Prema.
Yeah, which is after bhava. Yeah. If you're qualified with prema, then you go to Vaikuntha. If you're bhava, you're still a little bit contamination. Essentially, can I go?
Not only Krishna expands himself, but for example, Rukmini in Dwaraka, she's an expansion of Chandrabhai.
Yeah.
And Satyabhama is an
expansion
of the other man.
Yeah.
And my particular wish is all that Madhumadha, which is a good Narada, in expansion. Extension of Madhumana comes in the world. Narayana comes Narada.
Muni, yeah, and he was a Gandharva at one stage. And that I never heard that, so I don't know. I don't know how it's related. Actually, I don't know. I haven't heard it myself. I don't know. Of course, there is the idea of amsas, that part of the living, a part of that person enters into some jiva or something, and they play the same role. That is also there. It's possible. I've never heard it in this case, but it is possible that some of their qualities in amsa form enter into a particular jiva and he plays a similar role. So it's possible, but I never heard that in a pretty different article.
Should we read
Srimad Bhagavatam?
Chaitanya Charanamrita? It seems very purifying and very substantial, not something that you take to read a lot.
Mm-hmm. Well, in Sadhana Bhakti, Rupa Goswami says here, one of the important angas is to, you know, hear the Srimad Bhagavatam. Because it's dealing with the Lord and Lila of the Lord. So through that we can develop attraction for Krishna. So he recommends it highly. How we deal with the Lord's reflection, how we deal with people around us,
no,
or the other way around. That means if one is spiritually advanced, in other words, if one has a good relationship with Lord and service, and one is spiritually advanced, then that will be reflected in everything else he does. So therefore, his relationship with everybody else in the world will also be good. Of course, we see that in the beginning stages of bhakti, even in sadhana bhakti, we have subhada, and one of the qualities is that the person is compassionate to everybody in the world, and the other is that everyone becomes attracted to that devotee. So therefore, the relationships will be very good.
That quality increases
as well. Yeah, definitely. Now we see that like Lord Chaitanya, when he walked through the forest, in Jarikand forest, then even the animals were attracted to Lord Chaitanya, and they were all chanting along with Lord Chaitanya. They all became, the tiger gave up his ferocious role, and the wild elephants, they all became very humble, and they began to chant Hare Krishna, because the devotee is very attractive.
Would you like to say that this all this description of our prema and uttama, or just to definitions for each individual to understand as a sport, and it's not possible for anyone to tell the status or level of consciousness another? Would it be right to say
that? True, it's not possible.
Or it's not easy, it's not possible for any devotee to in assess or estimate or know, at least not know, that is the status or level of that of another devotee.
It is difficult to actually judge one on bhava and prema from someone lower down. It's very difficult to do so. That is why we're also always warned to be very careful how you deal with devotees. There may be some devotee and you don't know who he is. If you offend him, then you could be offending some very advanced devotee thinking he's a beggar or something on the street. Someone has to be very careful.
The life of
Jatvarat
in his early years.
Yeah. Jatvarat was actually a very advanced devotee, but everyone thought he was a madman or insane or something, because he was just, looked like a, insane person. So, we cannot judge, actually. And that's why it says that the last comment is one cannot understand. Even if one is knowledgeable, one cannot understand the person on praying bhakti. He may do everything opposite of what you expect.
These definitions of his characteristics of devotees are actually for personal, for individual to understand and to set our goal.
Yeah, definitely. Yes.
Under which definition of a Buddha?
That's generally up in bhava or prema, definitely, because he's beyond the rules and regulations there. Of course, there's the false avaduta also. He just doesn't follow rules and regulations because he's lower down. But a real avaduta will be impervious to the rules of society because he's advanced, no longer attached. Paramahamsa. May not. He's so absorbed in the pastimes of the Lord that he may not even know what's happening in the external world. Huh? We cannot understand his mind and predict anything that he's going to do. In that sense.
He does his general service, his rasa. Externally, he goes all the angas.
That's generally in the raganuga stage. In bhava and prema, it's less predictable. Generally, of course, bhava generally is like that. But then in prema, it is quite unpredictable.
And is it possible that those two directions, Vaidhi and raganuga, could be mixed up?
One could have a combination.
Yeah.
Probably, it's possible.
When we follow the Vaidhi Bhakti here, especially deity worship and all, like we have to follow the proper standards. But sometimes, for example, like the deity at a certain time, persons are there. But then when we spread out, then it comes like all the energy with the Lord, we want to sleep a bit a bit more today.
We got the, our own inattention.
So when the pujari says like that, then how do you understand it? Does he really mean it? Does the Lord really want to sleep?
No, well, it's our incompetence. We can't, you know, then go backwards and say the Lord wanted it like this because he wanted to sleep more. That's simply our inattention, our incompetence. You know. So we should not make excuses for our own incompetence and say it's Raghunu Bhakti. So. That is, of course, the danger in doing Raganuga, that one can just be lax in one's standards and then use that as an excuse in having Raganuga Bhakti and have the following one. So that's why it's dangerous for someone who's not fixed up to practice like that. Then he can just, the standards can fall.
So in that case, it's safe to follow the rules and regulations given by the previous acharyas and the former acharyas, so that.
Yeah, yeah. That's a safe stand for most people. That's why generally we just say Divide Bhakti. That's why we say just Divide Bhakti, because it's safer. And that's when it's at a certain stage. It's much safer to do that. Okay. Hare Krishna.